Greetings to all our viewers. I welcome you all to a very special episode today for a lot of reasons. One, we have with us Mr. John Gloucester, who was the ex-head physiotherapist at the Indian cricket team as well as with the Rajasthan Royals at the IPL. He is in conversation with our very own Mr. Amitwa Pal, who is the associate dean here at IASM. They covered a range of topics about physiotherapy and other topics as well. Without waiting another second, let's dive right into the podcast.
Hi, John. Thank you for the time.
Yes, sir.
So, I have a query. You have been at the helm of the affairs. Okay, you have been a physiotherapist, has been a medical coordinator with Team India, then Rajasthan Royals. How do you see that your expertise as a physiotherapist and the medical coordinator has actually helped Rajasthan Royals in the backstage planning? If you can give some idea or maybe some learnings from it, the listeners will be having a lot of ideas about it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to where value lies and what value you bring to the organization. And at the end of the day, the players are our assets, and every effort is made to ensure that those assets deliver consistently, safely, for the longest period of time for the franchise or for the team. And our role is to then monitor those assets and give them every strategy and tool to first of all stay injury free, but then at the same time complete what the demands of them in terms of performance. And a lot goes on behind the scenes, and our role therefore is to collect as much information as we can about those players, establish relationships with those players at every level, and then on the back of those insights, then implement changes. And the idea of that, again, is to with two things in mind. One is to protect them from injury, but at the same time, delivering on the performance parameters that are expected of them. And so that's a very challenging space to be in. And that's why now we're looking more and more to the sports science world to help us with that journey, to help us gain insight, to use new innovations and technologies, and to therefore have this level of insight on those individuals that we've never really had before. But our whole piece that we're striving for with these individuals is the term longevity. We're looking at the longevity of them within their sporting environment, and how can we prolong that period for them to be the best that they can be, the fittest, the most injury-free that they can be for the longest periods of time in order for them to deliver for their country and their sport. And that's our job. And a lot goes on behind the scenes outside of tournament time, that's for sure. And it's now a year-round interaction with these players. And the team of support for each individual player is getting bigger and bigger as every year goes past.
Great. In fact, whenever we have talked, one of the words that you always have been kind of emphasizing physical literacy. Mm. The way you started your journey with Team India, that point of time, hardly there was a concept of physical literacy or probably the nutrition and other part. Mm. You have seen a huge change in terms of the landscape of Indian cricket, right from probably when you started till today. Mm. How do you see that Indian cricket has evolved in terms of professionalism or probably injury management or probably fitness and all?
It's grown in every area. It's had to grow. It's had to keep up, particularly on the physical front, with the rest of the cricketing world. There's no doubting that India is one of the most skilled cricket nations in the world from a skill and technique perspective, particularly when I first started. The area that they perhaps lacked in was the physical side. In order to be consistent and in performance and to remain as injury-free for as long as possible, you need to start getting the physical piece into the equation. And when you start putting the physical and the technical together, then you start to deliver on the real value that these individuals and these teams potentially can offer. And I always thought that given the skills that they had, the area that we could make up most ground was to improve their fitness. And with that then comes consistency. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the fitter that the Indian cricket team has become, the more professional that it's become around fitness and fitness as being a non-negotiable, that we've seen more consistent performances. To be number one in the world in all formats of the game takes all those ingredients coming together. But there's been a journey to that. There's been certainly the 18-year journey that I've had here. I think that journey started around that time, and we're now starting to see it come to the fore. So it's almost a generational thing. And you spoke a bit about physical literacy. That starts in schools. So the next generation who are coming through need those skills as a young kid to then demonstrate those physical skills later on in life in their chosen sports. And it doesn't have to be cricket. It can be any sport. But we need those foundation skills in place, and we need to develop them in our kids as young as possible. And we need to be driving those physical literacy and motor competence agendas through the education system. If we consistently do that at scale, we're going to see a lot of athletes with great potential and medal-winning potential coming out the pointy end of our sporting pyramid over the next sort of 8 to 10 years.
Great. You have seen Indian cricket. You are seeing the rise of the Indian cricket. Now, there are talent development, there are performance. What are the key factors you feel that is impacting Indian cricket in the rise, exactly behind this top performance and the...
One of them is the support that's now given to the within the ecosystem, and sports science support is a big part of that, and using data, using technology to gain insights, and on the back of those insights, then implementing change and bringing the best of those athletes and the best capabilities of those athletes to the fore. And that is the most exciting thing for me. The challenge we had was changing the mindset around physicality and the importance of physicality. And it took two or three key individuals within the cricket world to stand up as ambassadors to champion those causes. The first was probably MS Dhoni. And then secondly, and consistently still, is probably Virat, who said basically that fitness is a non-negotiable. We can be the best in the world if we focus on that piece as well. Because along with the physical fitness comes the mental game as well.
True.
And when you start putting it all together, the package is complete. On the back of that, we're now seeing that trickle down into other sports in this country. And then the awareness of what roles sports science play, sports medicine play, sports physio plays, psychology, nutrition, all the other support services, how they all then fit into that piece of improving this overall physical nature of these beings, as well as this enhancing their physical literacy, if you want to put it that way, but also then delivering on the other key ingredient, which is the mental side of the game. And once we start putting all that together, I think we're looking at a more complete athlete.
Great. Taking the cue from what you exactly told right now, fitness, training, and injury prevention. Now, you have seen India, you have seen the abroad. Do you see there is a landmark difference when you talk about the approach in India versus abroad?
It's definitely narrowing. When I first came here, there was a big difference. There was a big gap. And when you have big gaps, it's always quite daunting to look at that task and say, where do we start? I think we now start from a better place because we have an awareness of the role, the important role that it plays. And so if I look to the West now, or I look to, say, Australia in cricket, we've narrowed that gap significantly. And we've narrowed that gap because we've placed an emphasis on the importance of the support systems that allow us to narrow those gaps. And that's sports science, that's sports physio, as I mentioned before. But it's also insights on the back of technologies that allow us to have a greater understanding of these individuals and these teams. And I think if you were to look at what's separating them now, it's not infrastructure anymore. I don't believe it's technology anymore. I think we all have access to that. I think purely now it's just filling out this layer of actual physical support to these individuals and bringing through the system now, this new generation of sports science graduates particularly, are the ones who are probably going to offer the most support and help us bridge finally that gap between the Australias, the UKs, the South Africas, from a physical perspective, with the Indian athletes. And I don't think that's too far away, to be perfectly honest.
Great. My next question will be, right now, obviously, we are sitting in ISM campus, but you have been observing or experiencing ISM since years, right? You have seen how ISM has been delivering the sports management, and now we are already working on sports science. And you have already worked and you have guided the sports curriculum as well when it comes to the sports science. How do you see ISM's approach towards sports management and sports science? Do you feel that ISM is creating value, or what is your experience in terms of ISM in the sports education, especially in management and science?
I think what's happened is it's taken somebody like Nilesh, for example, to step back and look at the complete picture and look at, if we want sport in this country to succeed and for individual or teams to excel, we've got to look at the complete picture of sport and sport support. He started the journey in the area of sports management and building systems and processes to support that piece, but then realized that that was only one part of the whole puzzle, and that if we want to complete this picture and completely support the sporting individual or team in this country, then we've got to look at what other pieces are required and which pieces of the jigsaw are still missing. And I know as a management group, you guys quickly identified that until we fix the sports science piece, we're always going to be behind. And so I think it was very mature of the team here to take that step back and ask the honest question, what does Indian sport need outside of cricket? What does Indian sport need to succeed and to produce the next generation of medal-winning athletes? And without the system in place, it's very, very difficult. So what they've done here is build this institution that is now bringing through its doors those individuals that are going to help build out this ecosystem. Because that's ultimately where the success in the future is going to come from. We have the talent, we have the athletes, we have the teams. How can we bring them to the fore? And that is going to be through this holistic approach to ecosystem support, by educating individuals through these types of institutions to deliver on that. And it's a big country with a lot of people, so we need a lot of help in that space.
So I remember when we were working on the curriculum side, you always harped upon that, you know, we need to be more practical oriented because the gap between the theory and the practical has to be minimized. Now, with your experience, since you have seen the ISM management students and now you are interacting with the science students as well, do you see the way ISM has curated the curriculum and the way ISM has been delivering the sports management curriculum, over a period of time, the gaps are getting minimized in terms of the delivery from the industry point of view?
Yeah, the biggest gap to always fill is this experience piece. And I think because, you know, being a primary mover in this space, ISM was in a very unique position to, first of all, demonstrate value, and when deployed, that value can create enormous extra value somewhere within the system. And so once the awareness was there about what you were creating, the opportunities for experience became more and more for the candidates. You can never trade off experience for anything, and I think the beauty of the institution is that they have access to experience, to place students and candidates into positions that they would only ever have dreamed of, or have opportunities to travel to places and experience sports and other sporting institutions around the world that they could only ever have dreamed of. And no course is complete, particularly in sports science, particularly in sports management, without the experience piece in place. And there's some wonderful theoretically intelligent people out there, but practically they often fall short when we ask them to put those theory into practice. And we're now in a position to offer these the students this incredible ocean almost of experience that's coming with the growing leagues, with the growing outside of cricket, the growing sport opportunities that are there. And the focus now is on India. You know, I'm very confident that India is going to host the Olympics within the next 20 years. And I think the eyes are back on India now as an innovator in the sports technology space. We're seeing incredible startups coming out of this ecosystem that is supporting sports, sports management, sports systems, processes. And I think that's exciting. And having spent a lot of time overseas and looked back at India, there are now certain athletes that are doing India enormously proud. You know, the Neeraj Chopras of the world and some of the individual in different sports, it's fencing and badminton. And, you know, there is a big focus on India now and expectation almost to start producing more and more. And with that expectation comes responsibility. And the responsibility now is on institutions like IISM to start producing very good quality candidates to fulfill some of these critical roles. If we're talking Olympics for India, if we're talking ongoing medal candidates for the country, they need that support. And that support is coming out of institutions like IISM, who are now looking at the whole equation holistically as to what genuinely do athletes need and teams need to succeed in the global world of sport.
Great. A lot of youngsters wants to follow your footstep. They want to join the world of sports management and athletic care. Okay. What is your advice for them?
Go for it. Just break the barriers, move forward. Sports science, particularly when I first came, sports physio was hardly even a known word. When I first came to India, everybody knows what a sports physio does now and what value they bring to a team or an individual. Sports science is in the same place now, and there's going to be enormous opportunities as we move forward to build out the support structure around Indian sport and its associated ecosystem. And as I said before, the not just the opportunity to succeed as an individual in that space, the opportunity to help India succeed as a nation because of your role is even more exciting, I think. And we are talking Olympics in 20 years, under 20 years' time in India. It will happen. And if it does happen, it's going to have an enormous input of knowledge and feet on the street in the key areas of sports management, infrastructure build, sports science, sports medicine, those areas. So I say if the opportunity arises to start looking at this field and moving into this area, then go for it, because there's a huge, huge opportunity waiting ahead for you.
Great. My last question is, you have decades of experience as a physiotherapist and a medical coordinator.
You're saying I'm old, Richard?
Now, there are
decades.
I'm sure there are a lot of memories you carry, and good memories. There are a lot of learnings. There might be some memories where you might be highlighting in terms of how you see that, you know, that has created really an importance of physiotherapist and a coordinator. There might be some incident.
Look, I think it's the challenges that you're presented with that are often the ones that make you sit back and think about how can I be more effective. And what is required more. I can talk of the successes of teams and individuals that we work with, but everybody knows about them. But it's often where we fail and the challenges that we come across that are of actually greater impact on the athlete. And if we don't meet those challenges or we fail in their expectation to deliver and therefore they underperform or fail, then that has a more profound impact. So that's where we need to be smarter and look at where are the failures in the current system, where are the failures in the way we prepare athletes, the way we support them, what are we offering them globally, or even within India themselves. And there's some fantastic foundations out there that are doing that individually. I'm involved with one of those, and that's the question we keep asking ourselves is what, where are the problem areas? What are the problems that we have to solve? Where are the challenges currently? And always putting ourselves into the athlete's shoes and saying, what do you need? You know, what is required of us? What do you need from us? And in what way can we then help you with those challenges? Because they're not insurmountable. And we do have the tools and technologies available to us to overcome pretty well all of them. We just need to first of all identify them. So always look for the challenges first, and then those success stories will always come.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.